These going here. Good to be here today. I mean, Mother's Day. Where's my mom anyway? Oh, there she is. There. I didn't know if she left or maybe went home or. Mothers, you know, I'm going to preach on what the Lord gave me the other day. I was going to preach on the fear of the Lord. He really put that on my heart. I gave some of it at Sunday school. But I'm just sitting there reading it, the Lord gave me something totally new. And I like when He does it, but it kind of catches me off guard. But we'll do what He says because He knows what needs to be said here, not me. One of the things I always pray, just a new thing I told my Sunday school, is that I used to never not get up and pray or read on Sunday mornings. How's that? I should just get up and come to church. Sleep in and off. Wow, the Lord about knocked my head off. I mean, just, man, you ain't having that. So, for, you know, probably been a month or two now that I've been doing it and getting up and, you know, being able to get moving because I'm going to spend a whole day here. I'm not going to get much and be able to sit down, put my feet up and all that. It takes a toll on my back. By the time I go home, she knows I'm going to get in my chair. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm wore out. But it's worth it to me to be here.
Amen.
Yeah, it's just worth it. The preaching we heard this morning, I mean, at 11 o'clock was just, I love hearing stuff like that. I want to know about the one who saved me. I want to draw closer to Him because one of my prayers every day is that the Lord become a precious cornerstone in my heart. Just become that shiny, beautiful, loving stone in my heart. That's what I want, more and more of You every day and less of me. The less I get of me and the more of Him, the better off this world will be. And I just tell you, you know, there's times I get on my face and to say, Lord, please move me out of the way so You can move in. Just move my intentions, move my thoughts, move everything out of the way. Because I get in the way a lot of times and I mess a lot of things up. But there's something that the Lord's given me with salvation. We know that when we get saved, we have the new man. But I'm going to tell you now, there's more than just a new man. There's a new name. I have a new name. My name may be Dale Moore. And I'm going to explain this to you. It may not make much sense to you right now, but He gave me a new name. When He gave me that new man and gave me salvation and changed my life, He gave me a new name. No longer do my kids know the Dale Morey that I used to be. My wife doesn't know the Dale Morey that I used to be. He gave me a new name. I'm going to use some examples in here. Like I said, it's not going to make sense, but you just give me some time and I'm going to show you what the Lord gave me. We're going to start in Genesis 17. And I'm going to show you some examples here of some name changes. Genesis 17. I'm sure the pastor's already calling to a few things that I'm going to say. But you just got to bear with me. Let me get through this and show you what I mean. And there's more than just that salvation. That new man comes in. And there's this, a whole bunch of things happen to you. I know that the Lord has given me a new name. And I know that new name is written in glory. I mean, it's written there in the books. It's there. I'm going to heaven. There's nothing that can take that away. It's over with. It's been said and done by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's over. It's finished. For those people out in the world, whether they call themselves my brothers or sisters, or for those that you are sitting in this church today, I will see those of you who are saved in heaven. I will be there with you. We will share that glory for eternity. I will be there with you. I just hope that when we meet there, we'll just shake hands and just, I mean, could you imagine we're going to serve Jesus for eternity? And it's just going to be, I don't have to hope that I'm going to be able to get a hold of them today. I'm just going to be able to go up to them. I'm going to be able to go there and see him. I can hear him. I'll be able to touch him and see him. I get excited over stuff like that. And forgive me if I get excited, but if you don't like it, get saved. You get excited. I mean, that's how I feel about it. And I like getting excited. I told Pastor the other day, I just like getting excited. May 8th just passed. To nobody else, that might not mean nothing, but May 8th was a year of non-smoking for me.
Amen.
A year. I never in 27 years, I smoked cigarettes for 27 years. I thought I was trapped forever. I thought I was going to go to heaven with a cigarette in my mouth. You know what? The Lord took that from me and Amy one day. I remember it like it was yesterday. She called me in a break. She goes, how many cigarettes did you have? I said, one. She goes, we're done. I said, we're done. We never picked one up again. That's just God. I mean, that's just the Lord Jesus that does it. And Pastor used to know, I used to sorrow over that cigarette smoke. I mean, sorrow over it. But you know, there was something more important He needed to take care of. And that was my salvation. That was my wife's salvation. And then these other things have come. You see, He would rather have me and Amy be saved than smoke a cigarette than die and go to hell with a cigarette. He takes care of things the way he needs to take care of things. But I just want to share with you in Genesis 17, verse 5. Neither shall thy name be called Abraham, but thy name shall be, Abram. But thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Now, I'm Dale Morey. I'm not going to be a father of many nations. I have children, but I'm not going to be a father of many nations. But you see here, God, let me just read what I wrote down, because I'll get things mixed up. It says, this is talking about Abraham getting his new name. Abram getting his new name, Abraham. And that new name came from God. Abraham got a hold of God, and God gave him a new name. You see, God needed to do something in Abram's life. He gave him a new name. Now he's getting ready to send him out. You see, he's getting ready to change his life forever. I mean, it's never going to be the same for him ever again. Not only by his name, but where he's about to send him, where he's going to go. You see, when somebody gets saved, let me finish reading here. When God gets a hold of us, the spelling of our name doesn't change. But who we are behind that name changes. Who I am, I am no longer that Dale Morey, that convict that used to be. I'm no longer known to you people. I mean, I'm no longer known around here to my children that Dale Morey that used to be abusive to them. I'm no more the one who sits there and will make fun of people for walking into these church doors. I'm not that Dale Morey anymore. My name is not associated. When you guys think of me, do you associate me as a thief? You don't associate me with that anymore. You don't associate me with somebody who's out there womanizing and beating my children and not doing things right. You don't see me as that anymore. See, my name has changed. It's still Dale Morey, but it's a different name. There's somebody different behind that name. And the Lord has done that. My name may have not changed the spelling, but who I am behind that name has changed. No longer am I seen the same way I used to. I thank God because my mom can testify the name that I used to have was not a good name. I can still bring it to the parts of New York State right now where the Morey name is not a good name to have and walk in. It's just not a good place. And we destroyed that name. But I'm just telling you, before I get a little further, reading through the Bible, it's very important to have a good name. It meant something. It told people who you were. It showed what power you had, what honor, trust, loyalty, and who you were associated with. That also stood for the bad that comes along with bad names. Today, a good name means nothing to people. People actually brag on how bad their name really is. It's almost an honor to have such a bad name. But as in the Bible, people are still associate your name with how you act, how you live your life, and what you stand for. Your name holds more than you can think of. When people think of certain people's name, they associate their lifestyle, what they're doing, and they associate that with their name. Do you understand? Listen, you carry the name Jesus Christ around if you're a saved person, but here on earth, people are going to associate who you are with how you live your life. Oh, that's Andy Moore. Well, you know, she's a school teacher. I know she's saved. She goes to Black Creek Baptist Church. You know, she serves there. She's a good mom. They have that about Andy Moore. They know that name. Behind that name, there's somebody different. They know that the Lord has stepped in and changed Andy's heart. Gave her a new name to be associated with. I can tell you some names they used to call them, but we ain't going to go there. That's the name that they used to be associated with. That is not there anymore.
Amen.
Okay? They don't know that association anymore. If they don't know the new Amy, they'll soon find out when they meet her. Then that, you know what? That association of her old life is going to change. They're no longer going to see her for the Amy she was. They're going to see her for the new Amy that she is today. And I'm just telling you now, a new name. He gives us a new man. He gives us a changed life, changed mind. And I'll tell you what, he's going to give you a new name. I'm no longer ashamed to have the name Dale Morey. I'll walk around anywhere in the United States with my name. It doesn't bother me anymore because the old man I used to be is not who I am today. And I'm just telling you now, you know why? Because he wants to stop the cycle right here. You see that right there? That's the cycle stops right there for that Morey family.
Amen.
That's where it stops. Montgomery's, you know the feeling. You guys are working on it. You got your single moms and such. I know you guys are working on that. That's why we're changing that name. It's a new name. People are going to associate you and your name with something different.
Amen.
That's what they're going to do. That's a new name that the Lord has given us. I just thank God for that new name, Dick. Dick, you're my brother, man. And I used to watch you. I watched you for years, even before I came in out of this church. And now you call me your brother, man. I know that. We're family. Because blood's thicker than water. I'm washing the blood. He's washing the blood. It's my brother. Okay, you know what, though? He's not ashamed to call me his brother. Now, it's a time my mom was ashamed to call me her son, the things I did. My brother was ashamed to call me his brother because of the things I did. They didn't want to associate with what my name stood for, who I used to be. That no longer is. My mother's happy about who I am. My brother's happy about who I am. Dick, my brother in Christ, is happy about who I am. You understand? That's that new name. This is something I could have never done. I would have went along, just changed, destroyed everything the rest of my life. But I'm just telling you now, if you walk around here and think that your name is not important and that has nothing to do with anything, you're a fool and you're a liar, you don't know the truth, you're not even sitting there, you're not reading the Bible, I'm going to show you some verses here where it says a good name, a good name, a good name, a good name. The Lord wants you to have a good name. He gave you a new nature to put a good name behind it. You're going to see, we're going to get into this more. Here's a few examples of a name. And there's many, many examples in here. But I can't use them all. But we're going to go to Job 1, verse 1. Job 1, verse 1. I told you, you might not understand it right away. You'll see where I'm going to get at the more I read, the more I get into this. Job 1, verse 1. And there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. We see that. We know his name. His name is Job. And that he was a perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Here see we see a name that described a man that was perfect, who feared God and eschewed evil. This is all associated with Job's name, and Job had a good name. Amen. That name, Job, carried what those things described him. And I'm just telling you now, when you get a hold of God and you get saved, and I'm just telling you, when He saves you, He's going to be, your spelling might not change, but what is associated with your name will. You'll have a new name.
Amen.
People will see that new name on you instead of that old one. And that, you know what, that right there is going to speak more volume than you going out there saying anything. I think the way people live their lives speak just as much as somebody going out there and telling somebody something. You know, if I walked up to the streets of Buffalo, my mom knows I know people that are still out there doing the same stuff. Amy knows that. I introduced them to a couple years ago. And I go out there and I start showing them who I am now. First of all, they're not going to believe it. But then, first of all, they're going to go, next they're going to go, wow, this is real. Now that I can be unassociated with who I used to be, but who I am now. And that's going to eat them up. And I believe that's a big testimony to how we live our lives. Listen, it looks good when you're in church. It looks all good being friendly here and smiling and all that stuff. Hey, bring it outside these doors, man. Because people are watching your life. They're watching to see if you really stand what you stand for. They want to know this thing is real. You know why? Because they know that stuff out in the world is not real. Keeps letting them down. Keeps hurting them. Keeps destroying their life. Keeps making them depressed. Keeps causing them all this pain. So they want to see with what you have. You claim Jesus Christ. They want to see if what you have is real. Is this real? Man, I want some of that. They're not going to come out and tell you that. So don't think they are. If they do, then you just, you know, the Lord's been working on it. I'm going to say, they want to know if this thing is real. They'll get a hold of it. When you walk outside these doors, be careful how you're behaving. And I don't mean be fake, be who you are. If you're, I mean, if that's just the type of person you are, then just be that person. Don't be a fake. Let them know that you're not real. Don't try to pretend. You know why? Because they're going to, when you know, get here, they're going to see you the way you really are and say, that's not how he is out there. They don't want to be associated with that kind of stuff.
Right.
They're looking for something solid they can hold on to, man. They want what's real. I'm just telling you. How do I know that? Because I came out of the world. I came out of the world. I wish to God that I would have been a Pastor Haynes or a Willis Schenkel, but I was not. But I'm okay with that as well. The Lord saved me from the world, and I'm glad He saved me from hell. He pulled me out from the gutters, man. And I'm okay with that. Because I got a testimony now. The Lord can use it somewhere. I'm all right with that now. But I'm just saying, your name and who you're associated with and what is going on behind your name. We see Job here, his name stood for that he was perfect, who feared God and eschewed evil. That was what his name stood for, and people liked what he stood for. Let's look at two examples of having a bad name. And this is just a few. There's many in here. I mean, I can name, you know, Judas Iscariot. I mean, you name this guy walked with Jesus. He was called a disciple. And what's associated with his name now when you see it written? Nothing good. You don't think of nothing good. Thank God, you know, thank God, Pastor. Thank God God didn't put our names in that Bible forever. That was a bad thing.
That's right.
Imagine that if your name was in this Bible right now. Dale Morey. lost, hung himself, died, went to hell, son of perdition. Could you imagine that being your name? That would be a bad place to be. I wouldn't want it. And I'm just glad. I'm just glad that I had a Savior and went to that cross and said, you don't have to be there, Dale. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'm just telling you, man, when you get there, it's a place of rest. It's a place of peace. He gave us rest for probably almost 8 months after for our first salvation. And he said, okay, time to put the boots on, time to get to work. But for the first 8 months, I bet you we had the most peace we ever had in our entire life. I mean, we did after getting saved. Peace, I mean, you know, just all the burdens lifted off of us. Then he said, all right, now it's time to get to work. It's time to get some stuff out of your life. Let's do this. But boy, just what a comfort. Even we're still going to bed at night. I don't go to bed with a bad conscience. If I go to bed with a bad conscience, it's because I did something wrong to the Lord that day, but I don't have to go to bed worrying about my past sins and worrying about if I hurt my wife. I'm just letting you know, again, I'll say it again. If you're doing stuff wrong to your wife, if you're calling her names, even if they're little silly names, I'm telling you right now, get it right, because your family won't be right.
Right.
I'm just telling you now, don't mess with your wife. God put that in there for a reason. When things start falling apart, I'm like, oh, let me check with her first. Let me just go there. And if not, then I know I did something wrong to the Lord, but I need to check with Amy. Because if it feels like brass up there, I did something wrong. Something's going wrong. And I'll check with Dawn. I check with you a lot. She knows I check with her a lot. Because most of the time I said something just a little wrong that may not have hurt anybody else, but it hurt her. And God does not like me doing that to my wife. So you guys, I'm just telling you now, watch how you're doing things to your wife, because God will take it out on you. You are the one that's responsible for that. She's your weaker vessel. You're not hers. Let's not get that twisted. God sure taught me that. And you know, it's a scary place to be when you get on his bad side. Psalm 16, verse 4. You know how else I learned that too? By watching the men of God. I watch how men of God treat their wives, and I go, gosh, I got that wrong. Maybe I need to start doing this right. My wife, I believe my wife fell more in love with me than I'd be doing that. She said she loved me, you know, from day one, but I believe she's loved me more since I've started treating her the way she should be treated. The way God would have me treat her. The way, you know, watching the men of God who've been saved and married a long time and treat my wife that way. I believe God honored that and she fell more in love with me. And I like that. I like that. I mean, that's falling in love all over again. I'm ready. With her, I mean. Nobody else. Nobody else. I read in the Bible how they had more than one wife. So I go, man, there were some strong men back then, bro. Woo. Okay. So we're talking about names here. Psalm 16, verse 4. Their sorrow should be multiplied that hasten after another God. Excuse me. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. God Almighty says that he won't even say the names, their names out of his mouth. These people, listen to me. The small G-O-D is anything here on earth that you're putting above G-O-D, the real God. I mean, that could be anything. This is not saying God is a jealous God. That's right, he's a jealous. Let me tell you something. Go ahead and put something before him, including your family, which will become a God and an idol in your life, and God is not going to like it. You know what that means? He won't even say your name out of his mouth. That's what that just said. You go ahead and keep messing with the little gods here on earth, and God is not going to be happy with your name. He said, I'm not even going to say, listen, you got to get that right. Now, do we all have small gods in our life? Yes, we do. But you know what? It's those that are continually living in them and not caring and not trying to even get them out of their life. Those are the ones God is mad at. He does not want that. He's a jealous God. One of the hardest things, and I tell my wife this all the time, and I struggle with it, but I want to get it right. So I don't give up on it. I 100% I want to have God before my family. And I'm talking about these guys, my mom. I want to have God before them. And in the flesh, that is a very hard thing to do. Very hard. But I have to pray every single day, Lord, I'll get on my hands and knees, face, whatever it's going to call. I mean, I tried boxing myself in the mirror last week. I was mad. I wanted to beat myself up. But I'll just say, Lord, no longer. No longer do I need my family or myself first. I need Him first. If my life is ever going to be anything, I need Him first. He's a jealous God. That's what He wants. Now, people go, oh gosh, well, how can you love Him over your family? Here's the key. Your family is going to benefit more by you doing that than you having it the other way around.
That's right.
I believe I will love my children, my mother, and everybody else more by loving Him first. I believe they're going to have a more pure, honest love by me doing that than me just coming at them with my love.
Amen.
God knows how to love my wife and kids and my mom better than I do. So why not put Him first? God is love.
Amen.
Why not put Him first and just let Him help me to love my... And that's not like I don't love my kids and my mom. I love them dearly. But God has to be first. And when you put Him first in your life, guys, husbands, when you put God first, He will help you love your family the way you're supposed to love them. And that's just something I've learned myself on my own. God wants to be first. And when you start putting these small gods in your life first, He's not even going to say your name out of His lips. I mean, it's not even going to come off His lips. He's not having that. Is that the kind of name you want on you? That's the kind of name you want. God in heaven sitting there going, really? Again? 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 I mean, what's so important in people's lives that they want to take God and put Him second to anything? I mean, that's a hard lesson for people to learn. I know God had to break me of that. He had to crack my noggin of that. And by God's grace, and only by His grace alone, please, and it's only by Him, that we'll never have to miss a service again. I don't ever want to miss a service. Our family falls apart. Unless the Lord opens a door for me to go preach somewhere or whatever else, that's a different story. I'll be in a church. If we ever do travel, there's certain times we won't travel anymore. Pastor, me and him had a talk. He made something known to me. I said, boom, that'll be it. There's certain times we won't travel now. But if we did ever travel, like Pastor's going to John Mark's graduation, he's going to find a church. Do we do that? I got churches lined up, man. I'm not missing the house of God.
Amen.
Just not doing it. There's nothing on this earth more important for me to miss the church. There's nothing. I'm just telling you, nothing more important than on here. I'm just telling you. I say that because, you know, God, I believe He honors that and blesses our family because of it.
Amen.
Not that I'm any better than anybody, because I'm not. You all know me. I'm not no better than anybody. But there's just certain things that I've learned in my life, being a Christian, that God will not allow me and Amy to do. Now, the rest of you might be able to do whatever you want, but there's certain things in my life. I just looked at her the other day. We got on our knees to pray together. I said, Amy, there are now things in my mind and your life that God is not going to allow anymore. He may allow other Christians to do it, but not for me and you.
Right.
Not for me and you. There's lines being drawn now. And that's a hard thing to eat, isn't it, babe? It's a hard thing. Our flesh wants to battle us in everything. But I'm just telling you, that new name, that new man, that's the one who has to prevail. That's the one who has to prevail. You know why? Because that old Dale Morey is sitting right there, waiting for you to drop your guard. Sitting right there, waiting for you to just go out there and step out on it. Go ahead. Don't think we can't. Proverbs 10, verse 7. This is not where I want my name. I mean, my name is written in glory. I know it's written in heaven. It's there forever. It's in the book. But this is not where I want people to know me here on earth. I don't want them to know me. And what I'm about to say, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Do you know that word rot means that one day it will not be remembered on this earth. It's going to be gone forever. Like it never existed. Rot. When something rots, it disappears. It goes away. It stinks. It's no good anymore. I don't want that kind of name here on earth. You know why? Because for 40-some years, that's what I had. A rotten name. I don't want a rotten name anymore. I want to have a name where somebody will look at me and go, man, that man loved Jesus. That man loved his family. He loved his church. That's the kind of name I want to be known. That's what I want to be associated with. I don't say that because I'm playing the game. I ain't playing no game. I don't play a game when it comes to serving the Lord. I'm as serious as a heart attack when it comes to serving Him. Do I know everything? If I did, I wouldn't be here. I'd be looking down from heaven, looking down at you guys in church right now. But when I tell you that I'm serious about serving the Lord, I mean I am serious about serving the Lord. I want to be what He wants me to be. I want to strap up my boots like the army guys, be all you can be. And that's what I want to be for Jesus. I want to be all that I can be. He tells me I can be a soldier. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to strap my boots out and get in there with it. I want to get in the trenches and go. That's the kind of name I want to have. Somebody who's not afraid to get in the trenches with the brothers. I'd stand behind our pastor 100%. It wouldn't matter to me. I'd strap up my boots with him. I'll stand behind him any decision he makes. If it's one against the Bible, then me and him will have a talk. Me and him only, we've had one conversation like that, and he said that he, it was nothing bad about this church. It was just something me and him didn't agree on. I said, I need to talk to you. He said, I like people who come and talk to me like a man. People can't talk like a man anymore. But I tell you what, man, I would stay behind my pastor's back. I don't know about you guys, but I'll support him 100%. As long as he stays in the Bible and doing it, you know, he knows. God knows. You go out there and follow everybody else. Why not follow a man of God? Why not get in the Bible and see what the Lord has to say about it? Love. You want somebody to know somebody who loves you? I tell everybody this all the time. Me and my brother were talking about this the other day. I said, I've never met a man like Pastor who can like everybody. I'm like, man, Lord, please make me like Pastor and help me love. I can't. How does he like everybody, you know? Imagine having that ability. I would love to have that ability. And I do try hard, man. I pray to God every day. Lord, just give me, here's my prayer. I'm being honest. I say, Lord, help me see these people through your eyes. Help me to see them the way you do, because sometimes I just can't. It's hard to do that. Help me just to, go out there and stick my neck out and let people chop it off, because they're not going to learn. That's how I learned a lot of McDonald's. I mean, I stuck my neck out there and got hurt. I'm not talking about physically, but people were throwing stuff at me, spitting at me, and everything else. I stuck my neck out there. But it taught me a lot. Now I want to stick my neck out there in the ministry. Chop it off. I mean, whatever. I'm going to learn from it. God, I lived a horrible life already, man. I lived it bad. I didn't live an easy life. It wasn't easy. But this life, I'm not saying it's easy, because you'd be a fool to say a Christian life is easy. But it's so much better. Thinking clearly, I mean, peace, the family, the love. I mean, just the family, the fellowship between my brothers and sisters here. The joy of getting up and reading the Bibles in the morning and praying. Ain't nothing like it. Nothing like it. Who we are is explained by our name. People who hear the old Dale Morey flags go up, warning, this guy's trouble. Then there's the new man. And behind that new man is the new Dale Morey. Now when people hear that name, they no longer do the flags go up, warning people. But peace and comfort comes over them that they're okay with who I am and what my new name stands for. I don't know one person that's afraid of me anymore. And that's just the honest to God truth. You ask my mother, I made people fear me. That was one of my biggest tactics of getting my way, was putting the fear of God, and not even the fear of God, the fear of me in the people. Seriously. The fear of me. You guys don't know the Dale Morey that I'm talking about. You can't even fathom that in your head. You're just looking like, yeah, okay, Dale. I'm just telling you right now. If I had a film to show you who I was and what I was really about, you wouldn't laugh at me ever. I didn't put up with people smiling at me, laughing at me, or nothing. I'd just crack your head right there. Just crack your head right there. That's all there was to it. Am I right? That was the old man. None of you, do you guys know me as that way? No, you don't. Why? There's a new man. I got the new man. I got a new name. New name. I don't have enemies here. If I had enemies in the world, then God has made peace with them. They're not coming after me. I'm fine with that. I don't have to have that. I don't drag that around with me anymore. I left that in the past. I have a new name. I have a new relationship. I have a new set of rules that I live by. I have new things that I do now. I don't sit there and stand in my old ways. I don't do my old things anymore. Though sometimes I'd like to. We have that nature, man, sitting there. But I'm going to go for 1 Corinthians 15:10. And this is where I stand. This is where I stand today. It says, 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am this way because of what God did. I am not this way because of what Dale Morey did. I am standing here before you today as an imperfect person saved by a perfect God. You're right. For those of you who have said that in your head, that I'm not much, you're right, I am not much. But God is going to make me who He wants me to be. And I'm fine. Because whoever God makes me out to be will be better than anything I could have ever been out there on my own. Ever. And my track record shows that. My track record shows that. That God will make me into something better than I could have ever done on my own. Ever. Ever. Saul, also known as Paul, had a bad name. Acts 8:3 says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering in the house and every house, and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Then God got a hold of Saul, and his name changed to Paul. And his name became a good name among the Christians." You know, when people heard of Saul, they knew, oh boy. Matter of fact, let me read that. I think I put it down here. Yep, now Acts 9:20. "And straight away he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." 21. "But all that heard him were amazed and said, is this not he that destroyed them which called on on this name in Jerusalem and came thither for that intent, that he might bring them and bound them unto the chief priests?" They're saying, wait, this is a guy that, man, people weren't allowed to do this kind of stuff. He'd haul them off to jail. What is going on here? Paul got that new name.
Amen.
He got that new name. At first they caught him off guard. They're like, wait. But then they realized, wait, he's not the same. There's something different. He's preaching the same thing he put people in prison for. He got that new name. 22, "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him." 24, "But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched at the gates day and night to kill him. The one who was," I'm just going to put something in there that I wrote, "the one who was known to be against Jesus and kill Christians became the one who would die to live for Jesus and to teach and love Christians. Paul died with a good name." He died with a good name. He was no longer Saul anymore, that one that persecuted the Christians and brought them and hated the name of Jesus. He wanted nothing to do with any of that stuff. Here he is. God got a hold of him, and I saved him. Gave him a new name. Gave him a new heart. Gave him a new man. Got a new name. Got looking at him like, wait, this same guy, this can't be him. And it was him. He got that new name. He was out there preaching. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to have a new life with a new name. If I have any kind of record, I don't want it to be a convict record. I want it to be a record of something good that I might have done for somebody. That's the kind of record I want. The kind of record I want that my kids will look and say, he was a good dad. My wife can go to heaven and close her eyes for the final time and say, I had a good husband. My brothers and sisters here in Christ can say, he was a good brother, man. He stood for what he meant. He meant for what he stood for. That's the kind of record I want. But people are out there, they don't care about what their name stands for anymore. They don't care if you're a Montgomery and Asquith and Maury. They don't care how bad your name is. And I was one of the ones who thrived on having a bad name. Oh, Dale Maury's coming. Oh, we better cancel the party. Let's move away. He doesn't know where it's at. No, people just didn't want that. That's what they wanted. They didn't want to be around me. I have a blessed life because people like to be around me. Before I got saved, I could be in a crowded room, Chris. Thousands of people would be the loneliest person standing in that room.
Amen.
I'm not that way anymore. I stand here, I'm not alone. I don't feel alone. I feel right here with you guys. I feel like we're close. Like we're okay. Like you guys are my friends and my brothers and my sisters. And I feel I'm not alone anymore. I'm not depressed and empty inside. Something got filled in there. That new man came inside of me and gave me a new name. Now I'm associated with you guys. I'm associated with you guys, and I'm happy for it. Not ashamed of any one of you guys. Not one of you guys. Not one of anybody that comes to this church am I ashamed of. Not anybody. People have seen. Not anybody am I ashamed of anybody at Wellsprings. Not one of them.
Amen.
They're starting to realize that I'm there to be there for them.
Amen.
Now we're starting to see them on the outside of Wellsprings, and they're recognizing me. And I want to be their friend. I might bring some sneaky person in here. And be my friend then, if you don't want to.
Amen.
You know where I heard that from, Bill Wayne? It just broke my heart when I heard that he did that to somebody. And that's always been a desire of my heart since I got saved, is just be friends with somebody like that. Is that easy to do? Of course not. But are you willing? Because you know what? You stunk. Maybe not physically, but you stunk. I'm going to tell you right now, even if you're saved, you still stink. Your righteousness is a filthy rag. You stink. But you know what? Jesus will put his arm right around us. He'll be right there. He'd walk right with us. Yep, it's my son Dan. Love him. See them? That was done for him because I love him. Huh? How's that? It's because you stink or whatever. You know, me and my wife, we were joking the other day. Walk around with poopy diapers, me and her. But you know what God changes? We learned that from you. Let God change us. Put some powder on our rear ends, put a new diaper on us, and send us on our way. Go ahead, dirty it up. You know what he does, though? Just like all you mothers would do, you held your stinking kid in your arms. Some dads have, too. I held some pretty nasty drawers. But I'm just saying, we loved them. That didn't make us not love our kids. It didn't make us not love our kids.
Right.
Let's go out there, man, with that new name, with that new life, and do something. I'm going to read one more thing. Two more things real quick. I have time for it, too. Ephesians 4:24. Ephesians 4:24 says that you put on the new man, which after God, listen to that, after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Can you believe that? The new man, which is created by God. The new man didn't come from Dale Morey. That's a new man. I could never make a new man. If I could have made a new man, I would have never needed Christ, I would have never needed the church, I would have never needed the Bible. But, as my track record shows, that I could not make a new man. Okay? But my Lord and Savior made that new man. And it was created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:10. And have them put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge and after the image of him that created him. Yeah, I gotta turn this. At salvation, we now have a new man. And with that new man, our desire should be to have a new name and a good name. Genesis 32:28 says, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. That's the old man, the picture of the old man, the sin nature. But should be called Israel. That's the picture of the new name, of the new man with the new name.
That's right.
Okay? For as a prince, 1 Peter 2:9, but you are now a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, and has power with God, with men, and has prevailed. With the new man should come the desire to have a new and good name. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. It's a good thing to have a good name.
Amen.
You can have a good name. You need Jesus. You need the new man that I spoke to you about. You see here where I said in Genesis 32:20, it says, and they said, he said, thy name should no more be Jacob. That's the old man. That's the sin nature that's in us. That's the one God wants to get a hold of and change. But he'll wrestle with you. He'll wrestle until you get it. You got to see it. He doesn't need to see it. We get that backwards. Like we need to show God something. No, he's trying to show us something. He's trying to show us that Jacob inside of us. He's going to wrestle it out of you. And that's what he had to do to me. Because I'm a knucklehead. But you know what he's willing to do? Wrestle it out of you.
Amen.
He's willing to half cripple you to get it from you too. Read the story. But Israel is the new name. That's what he tells Jacob. Your new name's Israel. That's the new man. That's that new name he's known by. It's known by good things. For as a prince, you can laugh all you want, but I'm his child. I'm Jesus' child. I'm one of his chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth his praises. He calls me his son. Jesus is the king. What's that make me? I'm the same. To him, maybe not to you, but to him, that's what I am then.
Amen.
If he didn't care about me or love me or anything, then why would he have went on that cross for me? I'm not saying he didn't do it for you guys. He did it for you guys. Whoever's lost or you're saved, you know that. But he just wants to give you that new name, and you don't want to give it up. You don't want to give up who you are. Now admit it. It's easier to sin. It's easier to live that life than it is a Christian life. Because that's what the devil wants you to really believe. It's easy for you to stay with that old name, that old nature. But that's not what the Lord has for you. Please don't miss the boat. Don't miss that mark. Don't miss what he's trying to show you. Don't miss out on having that new name. You can have that new name here. It'll be written in glory, but you can have it here. People will be happy. I mean, people will be, it'll be nice to see a new name written on more people around here. We might get these church pews filled up a little more. People start having a new name. A new name. Let the Lord change something in your life and give you a new name. A new life.
Amen.
I'm done, Pastor.